Welcome back, you beautiful KVOI radio listeners. This is the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am the illustrious, the infamous, the notorious, the known yet unknown, Pastor John McClain, in studio with the one and only, the amazing, one of the best, one of the most brave, one of the most clever, and most magnificent motivational speakers that one could possibly ask for, by the name of Andreas Ruiz.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to the studio. Thank you for being here with me once more, brother.
Yeah, man. I know. It feels like it's been a while.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like
I'm glad
forever.
To be here.
But it feels good to be here, like
it
always.
Does. Yes, absolutely, man.
Yeah. And I'm definitely glad for the radio listeners that get to hear one more amazing show, which today we have, as usual, an awesome Pastor John's verse of the week, and we'll do something a little fun this week, just like we always do, and then we will have, as usual, Andreas Ruiz motivational thought of the week. And then on the second half of this amazing show, we will have Dr. J. Yes, that's Dr. Jennifer Herrera, mm-hmm. with Tucson International Academy, and also the author of this book I have sitting right here, Making College Come True, in studio with us with the second key of the week.
Nice.
Learning to embrace what's difficult. So for those that are listening or are new to be here, lucky you, because you have a really good show in store for you today. Some really good thoughts, definitely that positivity that you're looking for in your life. We got it for you. Congratulations.
We got it.
So, like always, every single show, we're going to give it up to a good Lord. And as I always say, anywhere where more than two of mine come together in my name, this is church. So welcome to church, and let's start church off with an opening prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, so today on Pastor John's verse of the week, we're going to discuss this. You and I, Andreas, we really not too often kind of just ruminate on a verse and kind of just play it back and forth. But this one, being the Lord's Prayer, is one that I really want us to kind of discuss, and kind of like maybe even our practice of it, because it's a big one. I mean, the Lord's Prayer is one that, whether you're Catholic, you know, like you're saying, you are Christian, I'm a non-denominational Christian pastor like I am, or, you know, you're Baptist or Lutheran, usually you're pretty familiar with this Lord's Prayer, and it has some place in your life, whether you said it at church, you said it before you went to bed, you said it, you know, at dinner with your family, or like situations where you're asked to lead a prayer. This is usually a common one that people like to refer to. And I think that it's very comforting just because of the content of it. And I'm going to read it one more time just because it'll give us the opportunity, particularly the radio listeners, the opportunity to kind of allow it to really sink in, and for us to kind of, you know, show the pinpoint moments that really affect us. So again, the Lord's Prayer, for those who aren't familiar: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. And I guess I'll start this off. The thing that really sticks out to me about this is this notion, and you don't hear it enough, which I think you should, is forgive me for my trespasses, for how I forgive others. Or the exact word is forgive me for my trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So like, if we want forgiveness from God, then we must be willing to forgive others. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts?
I agree 100% with that, because when we don't forgive, we suffer. And I really believe that this is something that we have to do in order for us to move forward. The last time I gave a presentation for some kids, I told them you have to do a forgiveness, and we did a forgiveness meditation we've done in the studio, and they said it was just so hard to forgive. I can't forgive that person because they did something really bad to me. And I said, just remember that the forgiveness is not for them, it's for you, because if you continue to be angry, if you could be continue to be resentful towards this person, then you're going to continue to suffer, and this person will pop up in other people as your life goes on. It could pop up in a coworker, a boss, a colleague that will trigger you, as that person in your past would trigger you as well, because you never, since you never forgave them, characteristics from in other people, you will show up, and you unconsciously will start to get upset and say, that was not fair. Why was it not fair? Because you still haven't forgiven that person who maybe betrayed you, who maybe said something terrible to you, made you feel bad, made you feel resentful towards them. And then now this person that's your boss or is a colleague or anything is now pretty much the same person that you never forgave. So I think that, yeah, you definitely have to forgive, but you have to also forgive yourself. Yourself is very important, that you forgive yourself. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. It's just, we don't think about, one, how much we need to ask God for forgiveness, and, you know, to kind of go to God and not just hold on to that shame. And two, how that relationship also exists with how we need to forgive other people. And the idea that you may be holding on to a little shame because every time I see you, I look at you a certain way, or I talk to you a certain way, because you did the slightest, you ate my lunch, my sandwich for lunch, you know, and it's just these ridiculous things. But this is Pastor John's verse of the week. Thank you for tuning in to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I definitely want you to call 790-2040. We're giving out a pair of tickets to the documentary of the little sign that's right behind me here. Here Comes That Dreamer, about the documentary about a Iraqi war vet that came home and helped the homeless back in Tucson. We will be right back after these messages. Thank you for tuning in.
And your coach, welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show. I am your coach and motivational speaker, Andres Ruiz, alongside Pastor John McLean. And today I have something special for all of you. And I'm going to give you the map to the wealthiest place on the planet.
Okay.
That's it. But before I give you the map to the wealthiest place on the planet, I like to tell you a story. So a few years back, I remember I lost my job. Actually, I didn't lose my job. I quit my job that I was miserable with. I just didn't like it anymore. And I remember that when I decided to quit my job, I said, I'm going to quit my job because I'm going to pursue my goals and dreams. And I took out my 401k. I took out all the money and I said, I'm going to pursue that dream, because I came back from an MLM conference, motivational MLM conference. And I said, you know what? These guys inspired me so much. I'm just going to quit my job. So that day when I was going to quit my job, I was really nervous and I didn't know what I was going to do. So I had to listen to some audios. And as I was listening to some audios, I heard Eric Thomas, this great motivational speaker. He said, you must be willing to sacrifice who you are for what you will become. And then I said, I have to sacrifice this job in order for me to become the person I was meant to be. So then I went up to my supervisor and I said to her, hey, I need to talk to you. And she said, oh, okay. She looked kind of concerned. We went into the room and I said to her, I'm putting in my 2 weeks notice. And she looked at me like if I was crazy. And then she said, but why would you quit your job? Like the pay's good. I just have to do it. It's just some new endeavors that I'm going to pursue. She said, oh, okay. So I quit my job, but then I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought I was going to do nutrition, but I was so stuck in fear that I ended up doing nothing. I just was paralyzed by fear, no action. The money was running out. And I heard Les Brown once say, when you don't have a job, just go out and serve, go help somebody. Mm-hmm. So then I went to a home for the elderly. And then this home for the elderly, I just went to go volunteer. I wasn't even getting paid for it. I would just talk to the elderly and just visit them. And I went there so many times that then they gave me a job. So I volunteered so many times that, hey, you want to work? Just helping out the elderly, talking to them, exercising with them. I would do exercise with them. It was really cool. And then I remember meeting this one particular gentleman by the name of Dan. And Dan was really cool. He was like in his mid-60s. And we would always talk about life. We would talk about Starsky and Hutch. We would talk about movies. We would talk about music. And I remember that Dan would also talk to me about things that he regretted. And we would talk about that and he would tell me, I regret not following my goals and dreams. Mm. I regret not pursuing what it is that I wanted to do with my life. And he would tell me that he regretted it because he cared too much about what people thought about him. He was too worried about what people might think or say about him. And because of that, he never really followed his goals and his dreams. He worked jobs, you know, as a police officer. He loved it, but that's something that he regretted. And he also told me that one thing he regretted was also not having kids. And when I would visit him, he would tell me, hey, you know, like, I feel like you're like a son to me. And is it okay if I call you son? He even told me, and I said, yeah, that's fine. That's cool. And I remember that there was one time when I was visiting him. And it was in like November. It was like really early in the morning. And then he started telling me, you know what, Andres, because you've been here just talking to me, I feel like I'm still living. If it had not been for you and another pastor as well, who would visit him, had it not been for the two of you, I'd probably be dead because of he was so lonely and sad. Mm. And I still remember that day, like I was crying, man, because he just really got me emotional just thinking, wow, I really made an impact in this man's life. And then I remember later on during that year, like in January, I was passing by his room and then I noticed that his room was empty. And then I said, and I saw a cleaning lady there and I went in there and I asked her, hey, where's Dan? And she looked at me and she said, I'm sorry, but Dan passed away this morning. And I felt so sad when I heard that. And you know, so I was crying. I was talking to some of the nurses there and they were really sad too, because he was a really kind man. He was really, really good guy, had a lot of potential. The way that he would speak, he was just very smart. I saw the greatness within him when I would talk to him, and it made me really sad. But what made me even more sad is that this man who had greatness within him, he never really lived his full potential. Like he passed away with regrets. And the place that I was talking about, where it's the wealthiest place on the planet, it's not in Dubai, it's not in South Africa where there are gold mines, like diamond mines, it's in the graveyard. Because in the graveyard you will find ideas, inventions, hopes and dreams that were never brought to life because of fear. And this is how many people with so much potential have gone to the grave? How many people have never really lived their fullest potential because of fear? Mm-hmm. Because of fear of rejection, failure, caring about what people might think or say about them, stepping out of their comfort zone, not feeling good enough. And I tell you this from experience of coaching a lot of people. Mm-hmm. These are fears that keep coming up. And, you know, I tell people how in my book, I mention how, just imagine, if you will, laying on your deathbed and standing around you are the ghosts of the dreams, the ideas, the inventions, the books that were never brought to life. And they're staring at you with large angry eyes saying, we came to you and only you could have given us life. and now we must die with you forever. And what I want to ask everybody right now is, what is something that you have not taken action on? What is something that you have not pursued, pursued in your life? And what's holding you back? What is the fear? Do you care what people might think or say about you? Are you worried that you might get rejected? Are you worried you might fail? What is it that's stopping you? And how much longer are you going to wait? Are you going to wait until it's you're on your deathbed? Or are you going to take action today? Tomorrow's never promised. 20 minutes from today is not promised. So are you going to move forward? Are you going to take action? So that's the wealthiest place on the planet. What are your thoughts?
As I love it. I mean, it's, I don't know how our thoughts always align. It's almost as if, like, you are that fly on the wall in my house that watches me read new books. Because right now I'm reading Five Wishes by Gay Hendricks, which is the book before The Big Leap. It's a New York Times bestseller, and that's pretty much the theme of Five Wishes. And the main question that's being asked in Five Wishes is, if you were asked on your deathbed, what did you not do to meet success, what would your answer be? So isn't that pretty much what you're asking? And the thing, like, as you were saying, that came into mind. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Good Will Hunting, but that's kind of like the theme of Good Will Hunting, where Will Hunting is this genius who's like a janitor at MIT or some top-notch school, and he goes behind the professors and does the math problems on the board, yet he doesn't let everybody know that he's this genius, and he kind of hides it his whole entire life.
Wow.
Till the point where he says, okay, I'm gonna own that. And obviously it's a movie, so his heart has him go, you know, and follow his dreams. But that's all of us. You know, we all have this genius in us.
Yeah.
And it's just there ready for us to just explore it and really, like, break through whatever upper limit problem or whatever barrier we have to get to that greatness, because it's right there just peekaboo and right inside of us.
Yeah, man, that's powerful, man. I'm definitely have to check out that book as well, because you were reading some really good books that I'm definitely interested in.
And just around good people with good minds are helping me out.
That's amazing. Yeah, and if anybody's interested in, you know, just following that goal, that dream, and being of service, and, you know, making a side income, or maybe even going full-time as serving, to serve people, so that you can run your own calendar, be your own boss, and do work that you love every single day. I have a Legacy Coaching Academy coming out in November. It's going to be in mid-November. And you can check out my website, ibelieveinmyself.org, and you can find the link there so you can join us. And then also, my book is out on it's an ebook.
Yeah,
it's on Kindle. Thanks, man. And it's called Morning Warrior Secrets. So this will give you the ritual that I have. Very short read, 68 pages. You can read it probably in the same day, and it will change your life like it's changed some lives already. Some people have been reaching out to me saying, like, oh my God, this is an amazing book. So go to Amazon.com, check out Morning Warrior Secrets by Andres Ruiz, and I guarantee you that this morning ritual will take your life to the next level. We'll be right back on the Common Good Radio Show. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am your friend, your local neighborhood Pastor John McClain, in studio with my sidekick, yet side man, yet man with the plan, right hand man, Stan, yet they call him Andreas Ruiz. Thank you for being here with me, brother.
Yeah, man. I appreciate being here, man. And, you know, I'm just very grateful. Just want to let you know that I'm grateful that we are back on, even though we weren't here last week, but I'm grateful to be back here again, especially with Dr. J. Dr. J's in the house. And I don't know, man, I'm just very, I feel blessed and grateful.
Good. We are blessed. Say.
Yes.
Absolutely. Because as you say, we're in studio with one of my favorite people on the planet. Like, I just, so far, I feel like I've grown so much from knowing her, from being a friend, from being around her. And I know I'm going to grow so much more. But for those who don't know, you're going to know. We're in studio with Dr. Jennifer Herrera, the author of Making College Come True, and the superintendent, of Tucson International Academy. And thank you once again, my sister, my friend, Dr. J, for being in studio with us.
Oh, you bet. Glad to be here. My pleasure.
The honor is all ours. What did you say?
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like our listening audience has got accustomed to, I've actually had a couple friends and a couple listeners ask about Dr. J's keys of the week. This week, we have another Dr. J key of the week. It's, as I mentioned earlier, this is key number two, and we're going to learn to embrace what's difficult. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, for me, being a combat veteran, being an adult, you know, being a parent, being a director of a nonprofit, being so many things, I know that this is kind of like the foundation of maturing and of kind of being a leader and being successful. Is dealing with things that are difficult, doing things when you don't want to, having what we call in the grown-up world discipline. Mm. So we'll start the party off, and I asked the Dr. J, tell us about the relationship between something being difficult and the reward one receives upon accomplishment.
Well, doing something that is difficult has a lot of facets to it. So there's a lot of ways you can look at that. One of them is, the number one thing about it is that difficult situations grow you. And if you're not growing, you're dying. So if you're not experiencing anything but bliss in life and you just cruise through with no bump, no nothing, you will have a tendency to fall into oblivion, you know, where you just aren't really growing anymore, and then you just start to recede, and then things start to happen to you that you didn't want. So it's better to, you know, you're going to have difficulties in this life, so why not go out and pick the higher goal, pick the more difficult trail, and get the benefit from it, because that's the relationship. Difficult times and struggles and disciplines lead to accomplishments that will really ignite your life and make you excited and will grow you. And it will change and challenge. As you're challenged in different areas of your life, it will kind of push, like birth it out of you, something new in character, in the ability, the skills, in the deeds that you're able to do once you've walked through that hard path. I mean, think of all the open doors people get on TV when it's usually about some difficulty they've overcome. Think about any movie story there is. It's always got the climax, and the climax is, what do they do? Oh no, they had an accident. What happens now? And then that's the rest of the movie. It's something that's celebrated and cherished in life, yet it's really hard. You know, it's really difficult. And the difficulty, you have to then turn to, like, things that Coach Ruiz would say, which is you don't want to, you need to guard your mindset. You have to stay in the right mindset. As you go through difficulties, how you're perceiving and embracing that difficult time, or embracing the suck, as one of my coaches in the past has said, how you embrace that is going to depend on how you can walk through the time. And my experience is, when I just go ahead and buck up and do what I know that I need to do, instead of resisting and fighting and trying not to have to go through it, is that you'll get through it faster. And also, you might not repeat that same lesson again in life if you really learn your lesson. So those are things that I just keep in mind as I go through it. Also, I know that that's the nature of life. That's how we grow. That's how new things happen. Think about the explosion of a volcano, for example, and the lava, you know, burns and scorches everything. But then what happens? That becomes very rich and fertile land over the years, and it gives birth to something new. So it's the nature of things. You can look in nature and see a lot of life lessons that we humans also go through, and it just all kind of brings meaning and makes it more purposeful. So not to hate those times of difficulty, learn to embrace them.
That's beautiful. I mean, and just as you were saying that, I was definitely thinking about, you know, obviously, you know, in my life, I want to think in all of our lives, we have that. I mean, we're kind of surrounded in this room with, you know, somewhat of a celebration of the difficulties that I went through in life and, you know, and the telling of that story now. And I certainly tell my own children the same story of, not only don't be afraid of those difficulties, don't be afraid of the sacrifice and the pain, like, look for it. Look for it, because there's something amazing right around the corner as soon as you get through that. So I guess kind of an off branch of that question is like, what has been one of the most difficult things you've attempted and turned out to be worth it in the end?
Well, for me, I think everything sounds fun. Oh, it sounds good. Let's go for it. I mean, anybody who's worked with me or knows me, they're like, oh, God, no. Here she goes. Don't even talk to her about that because she's going to like it. She's going to want to do it. My problem is finishing it.
Okay.
So I like to start everything. Ooh, let's have a party. Yeah, let's do that. And then I'll just delegate the rest of it to somebody else. But there's some things in life that can't be delegated. So you have to finish some things on your own. And those are hard. And I would have to say, I mean, I didn't plan this in particular, but the truth is the most difficult thing I finished was my PhD. I did my PhD, it was like, and we would like to encourage you, Jennifer, to join our PhD program. We think you're an excellent candidate, and we really think you have something to offer in the world of research, and we'd like to see you accomplish that. And I was, of course, flattered, blessed, honored. Wow, sure, I'll do it. I'll take some more classes. I like classes. Classes are easy for me. Let's do it. And then time went on, and then I was rolling right through it, as you would hope. And then I was also hitting my 30s. And surprise, surprise, I became pregnant. And I was like, wow, I'm so glad I did, because time was ticking. And I was excited. But you don't understand the toll that takes on your body. So all that energy, because I worked full-time while I did my PhD. Wow. So I tried to work full-time, do my PhD full-time. My husband was in ministry, so we're doing a lot of ministry full-time, basically. And it was a lot. And, then we got to the point where I couldn't do it all. And then you have to start reassessing, okay, what should I really do? Since I can do less, what is a must? And so how that worked out. Once I had my child, who did end up being my one and only, I wanted to be a full-on mom. I wanted to have that time. And I always told my husband, you know, when we have kids, I would like a couple of years at home. So we had to dig deep, find the money, and I stayed home for 2 years. But during those 2 years that I stayed home with my daughter, we lost my mother-in-law. So I took her to a lot of her cancer appointments, and did get that quality time with her, and she got to know our child as an infant. And at the same time, just like 4 months later, my dad also became terminally ill. And so when my dad, with my mother-in-law, she passed in November, my dad passed in April. And in March, I went to Aruba to finish my dissertation project with my 14-month-old. And so it was like, it was fun to be able to take her, a little scary because it's a foreign country, even though it's beautiful there and people are friendly, it is another country. And so you're living there with your child. My husband was in his own internship for his program for pastoring. So he had to come back. He couldn't stay with me down there. And he also had to pay bills. So that had to happen with us. I stayed by myself with the 14-month-old, and she went to her first preschool in a foreign country. She learned her first words in a foreign country with the some of the basic language of their island. And it was so much fun to be there. But then my mom said I had invited my parents to come down and help me so they could babysit her while I did my stuff.
I hate to cut you off, but our listening audience is going to have to get the rest of this story after the break.
It's good stuff.
Problem.
I love it.
I just have to remind them, you are listening to Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. If you guys want to hear more from Dr. J, go ahead, tune back in. Also go to veteranrescuemission.org to support our 2-day campaign to outreach to the streets, to the unhoused people on the streets, and bring awareness to Here Comes That Dreamer, the documentary coming to theaters real soon. There's some smooth listening with us here at the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission.
Yes.
I'm Pastor John McClain in studio with Andreas Ruiz.
Yes, sir.
Is that it, right?
Yes.
And then also we have, for those that were lucky enough to be listening on the other side of that sponsor break, Dr. J, the author of Making College Come True, the superintendent of Tucson International Academy, and one of my favorite people. Thank you for being here with us, Dr. Jennifer Herrera.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And also, those who are listening know that we were talking about key number 2 of Dr. J's amazing book, Making College Come True. And that key was learn to embrace what's difficult. And we're going to jump right into a notion that none of us are very comfortable about, and that is having Dr. J explain to us, why is it necessary to get out of your comfort zone?
Mm-hmm. It's necessary in order to grow. Mm-hmm. You don't go through a few difficulties, you will continue just to live at the level you were at, bopping along, maybe comfortable, maybe uncomfortable, but it'll be the same until you meet some sort of challenge. Whether you challenge yourself or you just passively sit back, something will come and challenge what you're doing.
Yeah,
and that's a good thing, actually. That's what keeps us growing. That's what keeps us going forward. Mm. And it also helps us to embrace the good and the bad that we've gone through. And without the bad, you can't really truly appreciate all the good. So it all works together.
I'd say like a kind of quick branch off of that. This difficult that comes, or these, you know, trying times that come, or these difficulties that come in your life, they come whether you work for them or not, like you said. But I like the idea of looking for them and trying to find where, you know, what we call it, God's calling in your life, rather than sitting back and waiting for them to happen. Because usually if you sit back and wait for them to happen, not quite as sweet of an outcome if you actively work to find what that calling is. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, 100% in agreement. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this is a little personal, but I will share it, that I'm in my 50s and I need to lose some weight. And I can do it a couple ways. I can just choose to do it and do it proactively and find a way to accomplish that myself. Or if I don't do anything about it, most likely I'll have a health problem come up. Then my doctor's going to make me do it, or I'll be in extreme pain if I don't do it. Mm-hmm. So what do I want to do? I'm going to have pain now proactively, or have pain later. So I'm choosing proactive. So I keep on running, I keep on dieting, I keep on doing everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and I love that you're actually, you know, working on that. And like you said, it's out of your comfort zone, you have to do it in order for you to take your health to the next level. So
that's right.
I want to ask you, what are the consequences of a person getting stuck in their comfort zone?
Oh, no growth. Just, I think boredom, I think regret. You're going to have, you know, pain. I think I've heard you say this, and I've heard Tony Robbins say it for sure, that you're going to have, there's, you know, two kinds of pain. One is the pain of doing something difficult, and the other one is the pain of regret of not doing something because you thought it was too difficult. So never let the difficulty level sway you. Rather, find alignment with yourself and say, who am I? What is my mission? You know, what do I feel my purpose is? And now, does this thing that I'm considering doing, does it fit my purpose? If it does, then I believe you should go for it, even if it's very hard. So if it's writing a book and you haven't done that before, there's a lot of things to figure out. And it's expensive if you have someone else do it. So you have to kind of do it on your own if you're going to not break the bank. Mm-hmm. But it's worth it. It's worth figuring out, because then you finish and you're able to help people, and it just feels so good. And your purpose and your mission are furthered, you know, rather than just staying the same.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
I say kind of like a jump off that as well. So when it comes to trying new things and stepping out of your comfort zone, where do you draw the line between courage and doing something that took a little bravery and kind of something that's a little boneheaded, and something that's kind of like a knucklehead decision, and you're kind of what they would call a pipe dreaming in it? Where's that line?
Wow. So that is a line that does have to be recognized if it comes up. So what I always encourage, like our students at Tucson International Academy and myself and my little group of people that I influence at our church and among friendship groups, is again, back to alignment. Does it fit your alignment? And if it does, but it's something that, does it fit your values, your morals? Mm. You know, so, if you're going to make investments, for example, and you want to get ahead financially, are you going to invest in just anything? Or does it matter if it's for a cause that you don't particularly believe is healthy or good, mm-hmm. but you go ahead and you invest in it? So you have to make those calls, the moral call. And I'm not saying there's a clear right or wrong. That's something you yourself have to go through and delineate. Mm-hmm. Once you delineate it, maybe get some counselors, or I don't mean like formal counselors, but you know, it says in the midst of many counselors, there's much wisdom. So get some feedback from people. Mm-hmm. And when I'm making a big decision, I have to go to people that I know it will impact. And I know back in the day when I was doing my PhD, I went to my husband first because he has to live with me and help me pay bills. Mm-hmm. And I care what he thinks. My pastor at the time, and, you know, because he was always looking out for my good, you know, and, you know, what did he think about me going to Aruba? And then my dad. And my dad was like, you better finish that PhD. You better get down there, you know. So I got three green lights that helped me make the decision. And then when it was really hard, I was able to stay the course because I felt like I had support from people. And I also knew it aligned with my mission in life, my purpose. And it was relatively safe. I mean, you know, there was always a factor. So that's how I determine. I do seek out, and not advice, but input. You know, give me some perspective.
Yeah, nice.
Beautiful.
And I think that, I know I've had a few people want you to touch base on Tucson International Academy. And those who don't know Tucson International Academy, it's a local school.
Yeah, charter school.
School
charter
network.
School district network.
Yeah, school network here in Tucson for ages K through 12. And they are famous for 100% of their kids getting accepted into college. Yeah. So those parents out there who are looking for an alternative for their kids and certainly looking to get their kids on the fast track into college, Tucson International Academy is the way. Tell us about it in the last minute we have before we break out into break.
Okay. Well, what I love doing is doing things that seem impossible. And for families that don't have anyone in their family that have not, you know, nobody's gone to college can seem like the impossible goal. But it is also kind of part of the American dream. Many people who come from another country see that as like a pinnacle goal. Mm-hmm. Like, I want my child to go to college. And so how do you get them there? Well, there's a lot of hoops that you got to jump through. Mm-hmm. You got your financial aid, you have your GPA, you have your scholarship, you have all that. Mm-hmm. So we help walk people through that. And we start talking about college when they're in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And the big kids mentor the little kids, and we all kind of learn together. But many of our graduates are first to go to college.
That's wild.
And I love doing that. We walk with kids that are able to come to our school. If they're not able to come to our school, we do have a side program for a few $100 that we will get your kid into college, even if you can't and able to come. There's a couple of ways to do it, and just call and get more information.
And how do they get a hold of you guys if they want to get enrolled, if they want to get involved?
Yeah, if you want to get enrolled, you can go on our website, TucsonInternationalAcademy.com, or you can call 792-3255.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being in the studio with us once more, Dr. J.
Always a pleasure, honestly.
Yeah. This is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I'm Pastor John McClain. Who am I in studio with?
This is Andres Ruiz, your coach and speaker.
Yeah, and thank you once again for listening to us. We love you so very much, and we'll see you next week.